Amen. We've been in this series on Wednesday night, Your Blessed Life Now, and it's been there's been so many breaks in it. I know there's not been a whole lot of continuity, but I would like to remind you that this is Jesus' sermon that we're looking at. It's been labeled the Sermon on the Mount. These are Jesus' words, and we're trying to look at them and understand what He said is involved in living under the blessings of the Lord right now in our lives. And tonight we're going to look at verse 8. And for the Bible study, you can just remain seated this evening. But before we read, let's go ahead and pray one more time. And I never want us to come to church just so we can say, well, we've met for that evening. I want us to be in the presence of the Lord and hear His voice. And let's just pray for the Holy Spirit to have His way through the teaching of the Word tonight. Holy Spirit, amen, would You move upon our hearts and minds? Help us to sense Your presence in just a real way that takes the truth of the Son of God and applies it to our innermost being. Lord, may we leave here with the strength of Your Word in our hearts. Lord, just something moved within us and changed within us from Your Word. God, anoint it tonight to be spoken and taught in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. We're going to look at verse 8. Could you read this in unison with me? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Could we read it one more time together? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So tonight, Your Blessed Life Now, we're going to talk about a pure heart. And this may surprise you. It may surprise you what Jesus really meant by a pure heart. And I kind of subtitled it this evening, If It's in Your Heart, Your Heart Is in It. If it's in your heart, your heart is in it. Amen. You say, well, my heart's just not in it. You know, this worship stuff, this preaching stuff, this whatever. My heart's not really in it. Well, that's because it's not in your heart. If it's in your heart, then your heart is in it. Amen. So we're going to talk about a pure heart. I was thinking as I prepared this years ago when I was in Bible school, I was asked to preach a weekend revival way back in the sticks of Arkansas, up in the hills there. And we opened that revival on Friday night, drove after school. And from the get-go, right over here on this side, there's probably only two rows of pews. It was a small country church. But there was a lady that sat on the front pew, and she looked like a godly lady. And from the start of the service, it was, amen, amen. Every song she shouted, did a few dances in the spirit, quote unquote. I mean, she was having her good old time, and she stayed right with the preaching, and she was right in the praying. And at some point in that weekend revival, I mentioned to the pastor about that lady, and I said, man, you're fortunate to have such a godly lady in your church. He said, which one? And I described her up there on the front. He said, are you kidding me? She's the biggest gossip, biggest troublemaker, and biggest snuff dipper in the county. She fooled me. She fooled me. And, you know, here's the whole point about her. What was going on the outside didn't mesh with what was going on in the inside. She didn't have a pure heart. She was acting like she was really seeing God, but she wasn't. I'm going to take the lesson tonight, taking the words of Christ. I'm going to ask three simple questions. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of... Or no, I didn't say that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So the three questions I want to ask, number one, what is a heart? What is pure? And what is seeing God? Let's take the first of those questions. What is heart? I'm talking about in the text, the pure in heart. Of course, we all know about the muscle that pumps blood, but what is the heart of man? The original language uses a word you'll recognize from the medical world, cardia. And before cardia means the muscle that pumps blood or anything else, cardia simply meant the center or the middle of something. So your heart is the center of you. If we're talking about spiritual things, your heart is the center of your spiritual life. If you wanted to talk in the language of computers, you would say it's the CPU of your life. It's the control center of your life. Amen. You know, I've always wondered about something. How many's ever gotten an argument with yourself? Come on. I know you have. Yeah, now you're being honest. I was going to have to switch sermons. You ever been in an argument? Have you ever wondered when you're arguing with yourself which one is the real you? You're arguing with yourself. There's two sides. Which one's really you? I think I figured it out today. If you're wondering in arguing with yourself which one's the real you, I think it's the one you down deep really want to win. That's the real you. Think about it. It's the one you want to win. That's your heart. That's the inner core of who you are. Our heart is the seat of our emotions. It's our thoughts. It's our desires. It's our will. Peter really gets to it. He in another issue we won't get into tonight, he talks about the hidden person of the heart, or the hidden person which is the heart. Your heart is the hidden person. It's the down deep you, the down deep me. That is the heart. We could say the heart is the source. Amen. In fact, the proverb says that. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart is the source. Our heart is the source of our attitudes, our motives, our intents, our desires. Amen. It's where things come from. You know, if you went out to get your vehicle and there's a pool of antifreeze or whatever under your car, you've got a leak, and the first thing you want to know is, where did that come from? Those attitudes, those motives, those desires, where did they come from? They came from the heart. We can make it really simple and say the heart is the source of all that is impure, or the source of that which is pure. It depends on this thing called redemption and salvation and sanctification. But my heart is the source of impurity, or my heart is the source of purity. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor, I think I've got you here. Impurity doesn't come from the heart, it comes from the world. Well, first of all, how did it get in the world? Where did it come from to be in the world? It came from somebody's heart. Let's look at what Jesus says in his teaching. And I'm basically tonight I've got some scriptures that I just want to briefly explain, but listen to what he says here. There is nothing, this is Mark 7, there's nothing from without a man. Please think with me on these scriptures. Jesus said, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Now, I got to explain something here. He's not excluding this idea of you can eat contaminated food and get germs in your system and it cause disease. No, that's not the point. The point is the Jews had these rituals. Even if their hands were clean, even if the food was clean, religiously they had to go through these rituals and wash the food again. It was just a religious thing, and the disciples didn't do that, and the Jews got really upset. Why aren't you following the traditions? And so Jesus isn't teaching that we don't need to wash our hands for hygiene or germs' sake. He's saying these pointless religious rituals. He said, you're doing that with your food, and you're upset because we didn't do that little washing ritual. But he said, listen, we're going to eat that food that didn't have that ritual over it, and it's not going to defile us because that goes into the digestive system. It doesn't affect our heart. Look at what he says, verse 18. He saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats. Verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of man, that defileth a man. This is kind of a frightening thing. Listen to what he says in verse 21. Jesus said it. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the person. Wow, I got a heart like that? Yeah. You got a heart like that? Yes. You know, this changes the way we think about some things. Now, this sounds like a good statement, and it's a workable statement. It is good, but Someone say, no, you don't watch that certain program. It's not a good program. And if you watch that, it'll put impurity in you. And I understand that thinking. But you know, that's really not the way it is. If you watch something that's bad for you, it doesn't put impurity in you. It brings impurity out of you. The impurity is already there. It just gave rise to it. It developed it. It brought it out. Kind of like, you know, somebody makes you mad and you say, "You made me angry." They didn't make you angry. They were just the occasion that brought it out. It was already in the heart. Do you see how desperately man needs salvation and help? If our hearts are like that, we need redemption. We need salvation. We need sanctification. We need the help of God. So the heart is the source of these things. Second question, blessed are the pure in heart. What is purity? In this context, in Jesus' teaching, what is purity? Now again, I want to tell you the Greek word for it's katharos. Does anyone know a Catherine? Catherine is this word for purity. And literally it means cleansed or purged. I like that. Some of you're in composition, you might have used the word catharsis, an emotional catharsis. She cried and she had an emotional catharsis. She cleansed herself by weeping. So Jesus says, blessed are the cathartic, those that are cleansed or purged within. Let me give you some examples you're likely to encounter in Scripture. Number one, it's like a shirt that was dirty, a garment that was dirty. It had dirt on it, had stain on it. But that was washed until the dirt came out and the stain was removed. That was pure. But it wasn't just of a shirt like that. It was of wheat or another grain. When you got rid of all the chaff and the other parts that aren't edible, when you got rid of them and you left just the bare grain, that was catharsis. That was pure. But it wasn't just that. It was like metals. You dig the metal out of the ground, gold or silver, or whatever, and it's mixed with all the rocks and the other metals and all of this, and you applied the fire to it until the impurities came to the top, and you siphoned off or you swept off the impurities and left only that one metal. That was catharsis. That was pure. I want you to notice in every one of those cases, you're getting rid of what shouldn't be there and leaving only one thing. I think we're already getting it. A pure heart is when you're getting rid of everything that shouldn't be there and you're leaving only one thing, one love, one desire, one will, and that is for God. So think about the washing of the garment. It's dirty because there's something in it that shouldn't be there. There's dirt. To be pure is to get rid of that. There is a very similar word to this in our English language. It's the word sincere. And we use that. I want to be sincere in my worship. Do you know really what that means? Sincere means without foreign matter. A potter might use it when the clay didn't have any of those things in it that shouldn't be in there that would mess up the clay. That's sincere clay. It's just all clay. Amen. I've been doing some spackling, and you that spackle much, you know, just a little piece of dried spackle or just a little piece of debris can mess up the whole patch. Just something there that should be. But to be pure is to be rid of those things that should not be there. It's just one thing. So what is a pure heart? A pure heart is a heart and a life without mixture. Amen. Now, here's the problem. When we think of pure heart, we most often think of sexual purity and chastity and moral cleanliness. And definitely a pure heart includes all of those things. But in the, now get this, but in the context of Jesus preaching, a pure heart is the opposite of hypocrisy. You see, hypocrisy, you got two different things. You got what you really are, and then you got what you're pretending to be. It's not unmixed. You go all through Jesus' teaching, and the opposite of purity is hypocrisy. You know, the word for hypocrite means to say something under. You're answering under. And it became used as the word for an actor in the Greek world. An actor was a hypocrite. And that's what hypocrisy is. It's an act. It's somebody who is acting. I've never read across this phrase before, but I read this week. It was talking about some folks, and it said they had skin-deep holiness. Skin-deep holiness. Skin-deep religion. What was under it all? See? To be a hypocrite is you're saying something under it all. An actor. And so Jesus, in all his teaching, when he wants to say someone is impure, he says they're a hypocrite. Look at this one description. But before I do, I want us to really note this. Now, it shouldn't be this way, but it so often is. Did you know that simultaneously we live two lives? How many knows that simultaneously we live two lives? I'm not talking about split personality. I'm not talking about schizophrenia. But how many knows we live two lives? We live the life that others see, and then we live the life that's going on inside of us simultaneously. Do you know that? And they don't always mesh. A pure heart, they're going to mesh. They're going to be the same. Amen. Look what Jesus says, his description of a hypocrite. Matthew 23, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Wouldn't you like Jesus for a revival? Hypocrites. "For ye are likened to whited sepulchres," or tombs, "which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." No wonder these Jews got upset at him, these leaders. Next verse. "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." So a hypocrite, an impure heart, is not being on the inside what you are on the outside. I mean, they got that tomb. It's of the best stone. It's whitewashed. It's got flowers on it. It looks beautiful, but inside is death. That's a religious hypocrite. It looks like it's beautiful. It looks like it's alive, but inside is death. And so to have a pure heart, it's to have a heart without acting. It's to have a heart without wrong intent. It's to have a pure heart. It's to have a heart with the right attitude, with the right motive, with the right desire. And the thing about a pure heart is it's not acting because it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to act the part. It is that thing, so it doesn't have to act that way. A pure heart, you don't have to act spiritual. You are spiritual. There's no act involved. We use the expression pure gold. I used it earlier as an illustration. But that's gold without, there's nothing in it but gold. And a pure heart is a heart with nothing in it but what is right, the right attitude. So let me ask a question. What determines whether my heart is pure or impure? What determines that? Jesus brought it down in this very sermon. He said, the thing that determines whether my heart is pure or impure is my intent. Or again, I could say my motive, my attitude. Let me just use his words in a moment to describe that. But really, I want you to think with me. Why do you do what you do? I'm talking about in the things of God, in church. And why do you do what you do? Why do you come to church? Why do you pray? Why do you sing in the choir? Why do you worship? Why do you live the way you live? What's in your heart, whether it's pure or impure, is determined by that intent. Look what Jesus said at the same sermon, verse 1. And I'm going to read for just a moment, but we got to get this. It's so important. He said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men." Here it is, wrong intent, "to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Verse 2, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets." Why? Here's the intent. "That they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest," that was giving, here's praying, Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. That sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, they love to pray. That sounds great, doesn't it? They love to pray, stand in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen, the intent, that they may be seen of men. Let's read on. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Okay, we're giving, praying. Now here's fasting. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a set countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. They want to be seen to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what's an impure heart? It's a heart with a wrong intent. What's a pure heart? It's a heart with a right intent. Amen. Not to be seen of men, but to be heard by the Father. Not to be seen by men, but to please the Father. Amen. And Jesus said, a hypocrite is one who worships with the wrong intent. Now I want you to know something. The outside can be right, like that little sister I was telling you about. The outside can be right and the inside wrong. But it's pretty much impossible for the inside to be right and the outside to be wrong. When you get the inside right, if you really got worship in your heart, there'll be worship on the outside. Right? Amen. It's the intent of our hearts. Amen. Sometimes people say the craziest things. Well, he committed adultery, but his heart's in the right place. Huh? No. I mean, people will do all kinds of things in violation of the word. And well, their heart's in the right place. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. I forget who said it. It might have been Emerson, but he said there's always two reasons. The one we publish and the real reason. For the pure heart, they're the same. You know, there's two scriptures in Psalms when I'm talking about my own heart in prayer that I almost always think about. The first is Psalms 15. I think this is a pure heart. He said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You know, the trouble of lying to other people, it's not long till you're lying to yourself or you've already lied to yourself. You know what a pure heart is? It's when you speak the truth in your heart. You're honest about yourself. Have you ever tried that? I'm sitting in church. I start speaking the truth. Well, I sure hadn't put much into worship. I sure hadn't had my heart in this thing tonight. Speak the truth in your heart. I didn't really mean that. You'll get places when you speak the truth in your heart. The second psalm is Psalm 51. And the psalmist in his prayer said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purity, a pure heart, is truth in the innermost parts. So I want to ask the question, are you honest with yourself about your heart? Is what you portray to others, is that the way it really is with you? There's the reason we publish. There's the real reason. You know, I've noticed this, and please hear me. This is just something through the years that has become so clear. But when people want to back up on living for God, you know, I just don't want to live that fervently anymore. They back up on convictions. They back up. Or if they get angry. They get angry at the youth pastor, they get angry at the pastor, they get angry at the Sunday school teacher, or they're stirring up division over some issue, or they're changing beliefs. They never just say, well, I'm mad at the preacher, or I've changed my belief, or I just want to live more loosely. They never say that. They always come with a real spiritual argument. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, they got a spiritual reason and a spiritual argument. But when it's all said and done, is that the real reason? Is that the heart? You know, I believe that's the ultimate hypocrisy. because they're saying it's a spiritual reason, but really it's about their ego, their carnality, their hurt feelings, their pride. But they tried to make it spiritual. That's an impure heart. So in Jesus' words, an impure heart is hypocrisy. Did you know in the scripture, hypocrisy is the sin God denounces the most forcibly? If you want to know what God doesn't like, hypocrisy is at the top of the list. He comes strongly against it. Let me tell you why. Yes, hypocrisy does hurt other people, but do you know who hypocrisy hurts the most? Hurt yourself. Because when you're playing the part, you're not being honest with God. And when you're not being honest with God, you cannot and will not get the help that you need from God. Hypocrisy keeps a person from getting and receiving from God what they so desperately need. I'm going to end here in just a few moments with this. It's a wonderful thing that when we can come before God, if we'll just put down the facade and stop the acting and just come before Him who we are, it's a wonderful thing what He's able to do in our hearts. Can you say amen? Now, I want to deal with one more thing before we get to this last question. Because, again, this is something that arises quite continually in pastoring. But somebody will mess up, and we don't need to even surmise how bad or in what areas. Maybe they got in a fight with someone in their family or whatever. And so I don't see them at church. So I call them up. And the answer I receive is, well, I didn't come to church because after what I did, I'd feel like a hypocrite to come to church and lift my hands and worship and pray and sing. I'd feel like a hypocrite. Let me tell you, that's not being a hypocrite. Let me explain the difference. In fact, I kind of made up a word to do this, but there's a difference between faking it and faithing it. See, faithing it, I've messed up, I've not done right. But I want to do right. So I lift my hands in worship because I want things to get right. I want to be in contact with God. I come and I pray, amen, because I may not feel it at the moment. That may not be where I'm at the moment, but that's where I want to be. And so I'm faking it. Faking it is when I lift my hands and I pray and I come to the altar trying to leave the impression that everything's okay and that I'm spiritual. Faith in it is trying to get where I need to be. Faking it is trying to leave the impression I'm already there. That's to try to leave an impression I'm there. That is hypocrisy. But I'm telling you, it's not hypocrisy when you've messed up or whatever to come to church and sing as fervently as you can and to worship as intently as you can and to pray as that's not hypocrisy. To me, that's a pure heart. Seeking that. I want to tell you this before we get off this pure heart. I don't want to make no mistake. Now, I know we're striving to be, and God wants us to be growing. But make no mistake, a pure heart is not a perfect heart. It wants perfection. But we must not think, well, I must not have a pure heart because I'm not perfect. I have failed. Or I got this fault. Listen, we're all on the road to perfection. Anybody that thinks he's already there, he's got a glaring imperfection in his life, right? Let me tell you, I think the sure sign of a pure heart is that you have a heart that recognizes your heart still has work that needs to be done. A pure heart is a heart that recognizes a need for more of God. It recognizes help from God. I've been doing some remodeling, and I've been amazed how many things from paint to glue to different plumbing parts that one of the first things they say on the instruction is make sure the products and the surfaces are free from dirt and debris and foreign things. It just doesn't work if there's anything there. And I want to tell you, the way for the word to stick, the way for worship to help us, amen, it's just to have our hearts free from all these other things. Amen. And last of all, what is seeing God? The promise says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does it mean, seeing God? I don't know if it's been this way with you in this study, but I find myself so often, I think I have known what Scripture meant, and then I really get into it, and it's not quite like that. You know, most of the time when we hear this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you're pure in heart, one day you're going to go to heaven, and you're going to look at the face of God. There's a like scripture Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness without. No man shall see the Lord. And I hear it preached, if you don't have holiness, you'll never make it to heaven and see the Lord. And I'm sure ultimately that's in there. But did you know that's not what Jesus was really saying? He's not saying blessed are the pure in heart, for one day in heaven they'll see God. He means right here, right now. Blessed are the pure in heart, for right now when they're pure in heart, they'll see God. Remember, this is your blessed life now, not tomorrow. Amen. How do the pure in heart see God? Well, not physically. In fact, Jesus himself told us, he said in John, no man has seen God at any time. He told us that. You don't look at God and live. So it's not talking about physically seeing God. Amen. What does it mean? Well, the pure in heart, they see God. Where do they see him? They see God in the Word. Did you know if you have an impure heart, you can read this book from cover to cover and not really see God? But if your heart's pure, you can be reading about anywhere in this book and you see God. The pure in heart, they shall see God where? In prayer. Did you know if I'm not pure in heart, I can pray and I can say words and I never see God. But did you know if I'm pure in heart and I begin to pray, it's not long till I'm seeing God in that prayer. The pure in heart will see God in service. It's not just a religious act. You're trying to help somebody. You're trying to minister. If your heart is right, it's pure. You see God in that. You'll see God in the little child you're trying to help or the sinner that you're witnessing to. Amen. How do you see God? Did you know sometimes if your heart's pure, you'll even see God in trial, in suffering, in loss, you'll see God. If your heart is pure, we could go on and on and on. Let me tell you something. Paul said to the pure, all things are pure. But did you know if you're impure, all things are impure? Did you know that? If you have an impure heart, you know, I've seen this before. Some people got an impure heart. Somebody can say something perfectly normal and benign. Can be about any topic. And if someone's got an impure heart and mind, they'll twist that thing into something dirty just like that. How many knows what I'm talking about? If you got an impure heart, that's all you see is impurity in everything. But I'm telling you, when you got a pure heart, you'll begin to see God in everything. Hallelujah. Tonight, great is thy faith. It's just a song. We've sung it before. But with a pure heart, you begin to see God in it. Aren't you glad we don't just wait to heaven to see him? We can see him right now. Not a visual representation, but we see God. But I do want to, as I end, I do want to say, but it also does mean one day we'll see him face to face. Amen. I like the way John put it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will see the Lord. I said, we will see the Lord, the pure in heart. Would you come, music? I want you to listen to me in just a few closing statements, because I think that they're really important. But did you know social media of computers and cell phones. Did you know social media has done a real, and I know there's a lot of pluses, but it's done a real disservice to people. You know what it's done? It's made a lot of people hypocrites. Because the persona in that social media is not really them. You know that, young people, don't you? That social media profile, that's not really the person. And I'm not just talking about the drastic things like you know, some young ladies are preyed upon and it's a picture of a young boy, but it's not really a young boy that's behind it. It's a 35-year-old perverted man behind it. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about even generally amongst friends, the profile isn't really what the person's like. It's a presentation. And so social media has made people much more hypocritical and impure. But I want you to know, here's still the wonderful thing about coming before God. You have to hide behind no facade. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to act other than what you are. You just come before him and say, God, he already knows. This is the way it is with me. This is the way how I'm thinking. This is the way I'm feeling. This is the way I am. I'm telling you, that's a pure heart. That's the way to a pure heart, the honesty before God. It's been years since I told it. I did hear someone speaking and share that I told it a while back, but one year between Bible schools, I was working at a rental yard and had to be at work at 7:30, so I tried to get up early before I went in and have prayer there at my bed. And I remember one morning I was down by my bed and I was trying to pray and stay awake, and I said, "Oh, Lord, I want more of you. I'm so hungry for more of you. Oh, God, I just want to see you work. I want to see your power." And all of a sudden, I heard a voice said, "Why don't you just be honest?" I said, "Okay, let me try that. Lord, I'm down on my knees because I'm supposed to be hungry for more of you, but right now I could care less. The only thing I could think about is how nice it would be to crawl back up in that bed and go back to sleep. And Lord, right now, I don't feel much spiritual hungry. I'm hungry for something to eat, some breakfast, but I don't feel much spiritual hungry. I feel dead inside." And after I got through being honest for a while, you know what happened? Something broke in me. And I began to weep, and I felt such a presence of the Lord. That's how a pure heart does. It's not a perfect heart. We're on our way to that, but the intent is right. The desire is right. How many wants a pure heart? How many believes Christ enough to believe you could see him in the altar tonight through your prayer? I'm not talking about a physical rep, but you can see him in your heart. Hallelujah. Would you stand across the building? Father, thank you for your people. Help us to truly, Lord, truly see you in our honesty before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come and pray, but would you leave the facade at the pew? Could you do that? Just come and pray tonight. Just make your heart open before the Lord. Just say, "Lord, you already know who I am. Lord, I just need you tonight." Tell him how you feel. Just be honest. Say, "God, I was bored, stiff tonight." However it is, just be honest before God. Let God move in your life. Why don't you talk to him tonight? Oh, God, thank you that we can come before you with no pretense. Lord, with no acting. We just come before you who we are, oh, Lord, and we seek your face. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I want a pure heart. Speak the truth in your heart. Oh, God, I want to speak the truth in my heart, in the innermost part. I want to speak the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No acting. Lord, this is who I am. Oh, God, I need you tonight. Lord, this is how I feel. I need you tonight. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us to see you.